All right, well, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. We're just going to do a little bit of review last week and let the cat out of the bag and let everybody know last week that I was a bit of a math nerd. And we've talked about adding and how that pertains to the Scriptures. And so I thought it would only be appropriate to add another service about math, you know, this morning and just keep that thing going. But just let's look and review from last week in 2 Peter. Chapter number 1, about adding to your faith there. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound," I mean, it hasn't even been like, just, it's just amazing. We're just going to set it right down here in the offering plate and just let that go. Now, where was I? Yeah, there we go. "Verse, neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." I am so embarrassed standing here in front of you today. I just can't keep this microphone up here no matter where it goes. It's my Bible. My sword just keeps knocking it off, and I don't know what else to do about that. But at any rate, when you learn addition, and you master that skill, what's the next thing that you learn about in math? Subtraction, right? We learn about subtraction. So we talked about addition last week, and so we want to move on, and we want to talk about subtraction this week. Now, subtraction is a little bit harder than addition. It seemed to be a little bit more of a painful skill to learn, but it is a skill that you can learn, and it is a skill that you should be able to master. And we all know what subtraction is. We've been subtracting for the majority of our lives. But how would you go about defining subtraction? And so I didn't really know either. And I went and consulted Webster. And Webster pointed out to me that subtraction has to do with taking things away. You know, as Christians, sometimes we need to take things away out of our lives, don't we? We learned last week about adding things to our lives that need to be there. But sometimes, as Christians, we need to do some subtracting as well. We need to take some things away. So just a little bit of an introduction here to get us thinking about subtraction and some areas where we see this in our lives. We all pay taxes, don't we? Right? And I just love to get my pay stub. And even if it's online, you can go and you can look at it. And if you do that, you will see that on your pay stub, there's been a portion of your income subtracted. It's been removed. And the government has taken that and is using that for yourself. And, of course, the end result is that they take away some of your earnings. Now, that's a negative example. A positive example would be, you know, I have a mortgage on my home back in Bowling Springs. And so I pay every month, and I get a statement back from them, and I can see that from the remaining balance that I owe to the bank, there's been just a little bit ticked away, right? And, you know, that makes me happy. I wish it'd be a little bit more, but I know we'll get to that point. And so we see that subtraction. A few months ago, we were at home, and I was working on our fifth wheel. If any of you are curious what evangelists do during the off-season or during a global health pandemic, we work on our travel trailers. So I was working on my travel trailer, and we were at home, and I happened to notice that going up the power cord in the back was this steady stream of marching ants. And they were going in and going all up in the back, and it was back around where my girls sleep. And so I said, you know what, we don't want those ants in there. We need to subtract those ants from my RV. We needed to take them away. So I got some ant spray, and I just went crazy and just started spraying. And, you know, the RV is small enough as it is. There's only room for four of us, and we didn't need another colony of ants or anything else living around in our RV. My mother-in-law was a college statistics professor. Some of you think, oh, just shoot me now, right? But she was. She was a college statistics professor. But even as a person who had mastered many different levels of mathematics and has many different higher degrees, if there's one thing she hated, it was subtraction. And so she would be working a problem, and she would be turned around, and she'd be working that problem on the blackboard there and in the class, and be going along, and she'd get to a part of that statistics problem that involves subtraction. So she would write the subtraction problem on the board, and then she would just pause dramatically and wait for someone, some student in her class, to do the subtraction problem for her. And someone would finally figure it out, and they'd yell out the answer, and she would wait for another student in the class to confirm that, yes, indeed, that was the correct answer to the subtraction problem. She'd write it down and just move forward because she wasn't going to do any subtraction. She figured she was doing statistics, and she didn't have to mess with that if she didn't want to. You know, subtraction isn't really fun, is it? I never liked subtraction. I mean, we like addition, don't we? We like to add to things. Taking away can be kind of painful. We don't enjoy subtraction as much as we do addition, but it is a necessary part of life. Did you hear about that pastor who went to visit a member of his church in the hospital? He went to visit, and he got there, and the patient was asleep. So he said, well, I'll just sit here in the room for a few minutes, and maybe they'll wake up. And so he was there, and he was in the room, and he noticed over beside the patient that he had gone to visit in the hospital a little plastic container of raisins. So he thought, oh, I love raisins, you know? And so he kept waiting and just kind of maybe, you know, this person would wake up. Well, the temptation of the raisins just ended up being too much for him, you know? So he went over and he got one raisin, and before you know it, he had two raisins and three raisins. He had eaten half the raisins that were there. Well, finally he decided, he says, well, this person's not going to wake up. I'm just going to excuse myself. So he stands up, and the chair makes a creaking noise, you know, and the patient wakes up. And so he begins to visit and has a visit there, and his conscience begins to get the best of him. And so he finally says, you know, I have to confess, I was here a little bit before you woke up, and I saw those raisins there, and I just couldn't help myself. And I ended up eating about half of your raisins. And the patient there, she looked up at the pastor, and she said, oh, that's no problem. She says, I don't like raisins at all. I just eat the chocolate off of them. And so subtraction has, you know, a part to do with our lives. My brother-in-law, yesterday, I was telling him a little bit about the message that we were going to be discussing this morning. He told me he's also a math teacher, or was at one point in time. He says, I don't like subtraction. It's too negative. You'll get that if you think about it there for a few minutes. But with that as an introduction to subtraction, let's go to our Bibles and go to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. And let's look at some things here. The scripture is going to show us that, you know what, if these things, any of these things we talk about here this morning are in our life, you know what we need to do? We need to get rid of them. We need to lay them aside. We need to subtract them. We need to remove them. James chapter number 2. In verse number 1, the Bible says this, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You know, last week we talked about faith, having that faith, that salvation faith. And if we have that faith, then we need to add to our faith. Here it's saying, if you have that faith, then don't have the respect of persons, as it says there in verse number 1. Verse number 2, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit thou here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, we don't have any business as Christians calling ourselves as those who have saved, born-again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room for us to have any kind of respect of persons. The text here speaks of rich versus poor. We're here in the South. There's no room for respect of persons between black and white. It doesn't matter a person's color. Sinner versus saint. There's no way that we as Christians should have respect of persons. Recently, we were in Ohio, and I was ministering there and just spending a lot of time in the community and trying to reach people with the gospel. And the Lord just had me go to the book of Luke, some of the things that I was dealing with and finding there. And you know who Jesus spent time with? Jesus spent time with the blind. Jesus spent time with the halt. Jesus spent time with those that were maimed. Jesus spent time with lepers. Jesus spent time with the poor. Jesus spent time with the demoniac of Gadara. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't have a respect of persons? Aren't you glad? Because if he did, maybe you and I wouldn't be on his good list. You know, there should be no respect of persons. If you find yourself here today and you'd say, you know what I do, I have respect of persons. Well, you need to subtract that from your life. Make some changes. It's what the scriptures are admonishing you to do. Well, that was the book of James. Turn over a few pages to the right and go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2, as we consider this thought of subtraction and how it pertains to the Bible and Christianity in our lives. In 1 Peter, chapter number 2, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, last week we talked about having a desire to know where we're going before we get there. And we talked about all the things that would happen if we added to our faith. We also talked about the things that would happen if we did not add to our faith. And then as a foundation of that, we went back and said, okay, because we know what's going to happen, then we need to add these things to our life. So here, verse 1 talks about the subtracting, the laying aside there in the passage of subtracting. But let's look at where we're going. Why would we take the time to subtract? Well, verse number 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may," what? "Grow thereby." The text here is saying that, listen, if you don't do the laying aside, if you don't practice subtraction as a part of your life, then you will have no desire for the Word of God. And if you don't have the desire for the Word of God, you won't be reading the Word of God. And if you're not reading the Word of God, then the byproduct of reading the Word of God is growth, and you will not be growing as a Christian. Do you think subtraction is important to your Christian life this morning? It most absolutely is. Listen, if you're here this morning and you find yourself lacking the desire to be in God's Word, I can tell you what the solution is. The solution is there's something in your life that needs to be subtracted. Something needs to go. And when that something goes, the desire for the Word of God will return. And when the desire for the Word of God returns and you begin pouring yourself into this book, then you'll begin to grow. So what is it that we are to be laying aside? What is it that we should be subtracting from our lives as Christians? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside or subtracting all malice." Malice is defined as just general badness. That's kind of a broad umbrella category. Anything that would fall under there should not be in your life. And the next word there says, "Laying aside all malice and all guile." Guile. The definition of guile has the idea with catching with a bait, a lure, a snare. I was fishing a little bit this week at camp. I did most of my work. I was finished up the work I was trying to get done there on Saturday morning, and had about 30 minutes to go out and do some fishing. And I heard rumor on the street what color worm that I should be using. And so I went out and I threw a bright pink rubber worm into the lake there at Camp Deer Lake. And you know, I was using that bait, right? I was trying to trick that bass into attacking my lure and devouring it. And you know, it worked. And I did enjoy it, got to catch that, you know. But you know, we ought not be that way as Christians, right? We ought not be trying to trick people, to work other people over, to lure them into some sort of business dealing that they shouldn't be in, or you can fill in the blank. But there's no room for guile in the life of a Christian. Every one of us, if I was to go to the rest of the people that you work with, if I was to go to your neighbors, they ought to be able to say, you know what, that's one of the most honest people that I know, the most honest coworker that I have, the most honest neighbor that I have. I hope that that's a description of you. There's no room for guile in Christianity. And if it's there, subtract it. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, pretending to be what you're not. Pretending to be what you're not. No room for hypocrisies. No room for envies in the Christian life. The idea of being a resentment or aroused by jealousy. You know, I don't know why pastor doesn't ask me to do that job in the church. Why hasn't he asked me to do this or that? Why does that person get to do that job where they're in front of the people and I don't get to do that? That's envy. And the Bible says, you know what? We don't need that. There's no room for that in Christianity. And then at the end of chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says there, "And envies and all evil speakings," has the idea of slander. You know, when we get saved, we carry a lot of bad habits into our Christianity, don't we? And some of us have been saved for a long time, but you know what? We've acquired some bad habits along the way. And what the Bible's asking us to do here today is to lay it aside. To lay it aside. To get rid of it. Have you ever been walking through the woods? Maybe you've set aside a day to go hiking or whatever it may be. You're just out in your yard working, and you're walking around there, and you run into a huge spider web. That ever happened to you? Right? And you hit that spider web, and the first thing that you start doing, man, you start going crazy. You're rubbing yourself. You're trying to do everything. You're trying to lay aside that cobweb. You're trying to get that thing off of you as fast as you can, right? Listen, that's what the Bible is saying here. This stuff is nasty. Get it off of you. There's no room for it. We don't need this in our Christian lives. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to the book of James, and we're going to look in chapter number 1 at another passage somewhat similar to the passage there in 1 Peter, but I want to show you that subtraction is all over the Bible. Subtraction is everywhere. James chapter number 1 will begin in verse number 18. The Bible says this, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now look in verse number 21. Wherefore, what does it say? Lay apart. You know, 2 Peter there said, laying aside. And here we have lay apart. That's the same word. Same word. The idea. Same idea. To subtract. Verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. All right, so the same thing, very much parallel passages here. Where are we going? Why would we take the time to subtract? Because we want to be able to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. You won't enjoy the scriptures while embracing filthiness and the superfluity of naughtiness. I don't know about you, but I like the language in the King James Version of the Bible, don't you? Superfluity of naughtiness. It just kind of rolls right off your tongue there just a little bit. And we know what that means. All excesses of naughtiness, all those things, you know, that just, it's kind of this big umbrella term. Whatever it is that's not good in your life, all those excesses, superfluity of naughtiness, those things need to be removed. You've heard it said before that sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. You know that statement is so very true. Both of these passages linked together, holding on to sin and then not being able to read your Bible and grow like you should. Or you read your Bible and you grow like you should and you subtract that sin from your life. That's the only way that this will work. All superfluity, all excess of naughtiness removes all the loopholes, doesn't it? I mentioned last week that we've all been spending a little more time at home than perhaps we are used to. And along with spending a lot more time at home, perhaps comes more time with a cell phone, more time sitting in front of a television, more time, you fill in the blank, I'm not sure what is being taking place there in your home. But listen, would it fall under the category of the superfluity of naughtiness? And if it does, then get rid of it. Replace it. Get rid of those things that don't please the Lord. You know, as I was studying this, putting this together, thinking about this and subtraction, it kind of dawned on me that this is God's basic plan for revival. God's basic plan for revival is simply this: subtract and add. That makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? You say, well, what if I want to add first? I say, okay, add and subtract. It doesn't really matter to me which order you do it in. You know, it's fascinating. If you go and you look at the passage we looked at last week where we are to add to our faith, what's the first thing that we're supposed to add to our faith? Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is holiness. Well, listen, how can you add holiness to your life without subtracting? So these things all go together. God's basic plan for revival has to do with math. This gets me excited because I can understand that. It makes sense to me. And it puts it down on the bottom shelf so that I can understand it. Listen, there are things in your life that shouldn't be there. Subtract them. There are things in your life that should be there. Add them. Revival is really quite that simple. You know, God loves you. Aren't you glad that God loves you? He wants the best for you. He's given you His word here. He's laid everything out from the beginning to the end. He's let you know how you can have a blessed, wonderful life full of His joy. Why would you not want that? We are so stubborn as a people. We go about things our own way. We think we know better than God. We're not going to do things God's way, because if we do things God's way, we're going to rob ourselves of all this joy and all this happiness. Friends, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. If we will get rid of those things that we sometimes think will make us happy, and if we'll embrace the truth of God and we'll do what God wants us to do, it is then and only then that we will find true joy, true peace, true fulfillment, true happiness, true meaning in life. Revival, subtraction, and addition. Let's go to one more passage, and I think I'll be short this morning. So go to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, in chapter number 4. And again, I just want you to see this. I'm using multiple passages this morning to let you know that this is literally just all over the pages of Scripture. And we're going to pick up the text in verse number 21. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 21, "If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him," speaking of Jesus, "as the truth is in Jesus," verse number 22, "that ye," say those words with me, "put off." What is that, folks? That's subtraction, isn't it? That's subtraction. Put off, lay it aside, get rid of it. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of mind." And verse number 24, "that ye" what? "Put on the new man." What is that? That's addition, isn't it? It's addition and subtraction. It's all over the pages of Scripture. So put off concerning the former conversation the old man, corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse number 24, "put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And then the Bible goes on in verses 25 through 32 and gives us some examples of what we're supposed to do there. Verse number 25, "wherefore, put away lying." Put away is just another word for subtraction. Subtract lying. "Speak every man truth." We're going to add that to our life with his neighbor. We are members one of another. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Verse number 28, "let him that stole steal no more." What is that? That's addition and subtraction, isn't it? It says there in verse number 28, "let him not steal anymore," subtraction, and then he's going to tell him what to do. He's going to add something to his life in place of that in verse number 28, "but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed." So, no, steal anymore, subtract that from your life, go work hard, and actually give to other peoples. Add those things to your life instead. Verse number 29, "let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." We've already talked about this morning, all evil speakings, that's subtraction. "But that which is good," here's addition, "to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And verse number 31 and 32, long lists here. Verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, here's evil speakings again, be put away from you with all malice. And verse number 32, here's some addition, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, sometimes when I preach, and I think I may have said this here before, I'm almost embarrassed by the simplicity of the message. I wish that when I am studying and preparing to preach to God's people, I wish that it would be something really complicated, and then I would look really smart, and then people would maybe just be amazed and say, wow, you know, how did he come up with that from the text of the scriptures? But you know, God doesn't let me get away with that. God just keeps it just painfully simple, doesn't he? And if we'll just get down to the brass tacks of Christianity, it is painfully simple. It's really not all that complicated. It's really not all that difficult to understand what we're supposed to do. Now, understanding what we're supposed to do and actually doing it, maybe those are a little bit different. But you know what? God's given us all the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, hasn't he? And I'm telling you, if you want to do right and you're struggling with an area in your life and you're just like, I just don't know if I can get rid of that, cry out to the Lord for help. Ask for the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? It'll surprise you how much he'll help you do what you need to do. And on the other side of that subtraction, you know, sometimes we think, you know, I don't want to let go of something that I've got in my life. I don't want to let it go. I enjoy that. And we think there's pain and agony associated with subtraction. But listen to me. On the other side of subtracting the thing to your mind, on the other side of that subtraction is peace and joy with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're deceived in thinking that it's painful to subtract. Do you remember getting saved? Do you remember the burden that you were carrying? The guilt that was upon your shoulders of all your sins? Do you remember what that felt like? Do you remember maybe being hesitant about going forward and walking an aisle, going down and talking to somebody, trying to get the help and find out what the Bible says about how you can be saved? Do you remember being nervous about that a little bit? Remember being a little bit apprehensive? And then you go and you do it, and I'm telling you, there is joy on the other side. There is joy in doing what God wants you to do. There is relief whenever you do things God's way. There's supernatural joy that fills your life. I remember what it felt like. I was five. I hope I never forget. It was a wonderful experience when I got saved. And listen, every time God deals with me about something in my life, and hey, I'm human just like you. Sometimes I fight him tooth and nail on something that he wants me to subtract out of my life, and I don't want to subtract out of my life. And sometimes I wrestle with God a bit. Do you ever wrestle with the Lord? Sometimes we do that, don't we? Do you know, every time without exception, when I give in and I say, okay, Lord, you're on the throne. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to subtract that out of my life. I'm going to put in what needs to be there in its place. You know what? I have never once regretted it. Never once. Never once. I'll give you a little example. I'm not sure if I've shared this here or not. But I was, you know, anymore you can stream things in your home and watch, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours of television on end, because you just have episode after episode after episode. Now you don't have to wait till the next week and all these things. You can watch all these shows. And hey, I do that sometimes, okay? But I was watching something. This was a long time ago. Maybe this was 5 or 6 years ago. I was watching, I don't even remember what it was. But I'm telling you, Brother Clifton, I was so into it. I was really enamored with all the characters, and I was really into this show. And I had gone to church, and I became very convicted that I needed to get that show out of my life. That show was no good, that I needed to let it go. And you know, I didn't want to. I was really into it. I wanted to know what happened. You know, I was all caught up in what was going on, and I just thought, you know, if I let this go, this is going to be terrible. How could I not finish watching at least this season? Maybe I could finish watching this season and then not watch the others. But, you know, I wrestled with God for a while over this. And I finally gave it to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, you can have it. I'm not going to watch this show anymore. You know, it was only a week later. I tried to think back about that show. I couldn't even remember the characters' names. And I had so much peace and so much joy, because the Holy Spirit wasn't convicting me all the time about giving this thing up. And we were back in a right relationship. There was joy in reading His Word again. And I wanted to hang on to that stupid television show. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know what it is that the Lord's talking to you about. But if He's talking to you about something, if He's put His finger on something, man, give it up. Give it up and be excited about giving it up, because the Lord has something much better for you to put in this place. So I don't know where He's speaking to you, but wherever He is, I hope you'll do business with the Lord this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I want to thank You for all that You've done for us this morning. Thank You for Your Word. And Father, I thank You for the simplicity of it. Father, there are simply things that should not be in our lives. And there may be things that are in our lives that You're talking to us about right now, this morning. And Father, as You're leading, I ask that we would do business with You. Father, we do love You. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the pianist begins to play, if you would just stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me just ask you this. Are you confident that you're on your way to heaven this morning? This was not a salvation message. I did not preach necessarily about how to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. But can I just ask you this? If you're confident, 100% certain, that if you were to die today, that you would be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, would you just raise your hand right where you sit as a testimony of that? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You put your hands down. What if somebody's here and you say, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right where you sit? There's no need to be embarrassed. Don't worry what other people will think. Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Anybody not sure about that at all? All right, Christian, let me ask you this. Last week, we preached about addition. This week, we preached about subtraction. With nobody looking around, just me. Did God put His finger on something in your life? Do you need to get something out of your life? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right where you sit? I see a hand here. Yeah, hands. Amen. Good. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? The Lord's put His finger on something I need to get rid of in my life. What about from last week? We just did a little bit of review talking about addition. The Lord speak to you about something that you need to add to your life, something that you need to put into your life, into practice. If He did, I hope you'll take these few minutes here as we conclude just to do business with the Lord as He has dealt with you.